Hey.
Hello there.
Hey.
Sir.
Hey, this is the Oscar special, man. I'm super stoked about this. This is like you and I'm curious what your first memory of the Oscars is. The first real memory of the Oscars for me, I feel like was in Colorado, for me at least. I feel like we watched the Oscars in Colorado.
Same.
And I think Billy Crystal was the host, maybe?
He was the host of those. Eternally the host for me, just from our childhood.
He should have been the host forever. Like, I honestly, he made the show so much more enjoyable than a lot. I think he would have stopped Will Smith.
God.
Let's just be honest. He would have ran out and grabbed Will Smith and then made a joke, and everyone would have thought it was funny.
He would have saved the day. Probably. But, I have the same memory. My first earliest memory of the Oscars was the year that, I remember seeing Cuba Gooding Jr. win Best Supporting Actor for Jerry Maguire, and I remember
losing it, which was a memorable speech.
But I mainly remember it because I was sick in the room in Colorado with altitude sickness.
Yes,
and I was puking while you guys were out skiing, and I was watching the Oscars. That was my memory of it. So I think that was the first time I ever watched. So that was memorable. But I was, as a young person, very interested in the Oscars. I think it started when I was around that age, which that would have been like 96, 97. So I was like about 11, 12 years old was when I really started getting interested in movies and kind of educating myself more about them. And of course, at that time, before I had really developed my own taste or whatever, you just, as a kid, you go, well, the good movies are the ones that won the Oscars. Like that's how you determine those are the good movies.
By definition.
So I started from there, and I remember I actually had a book that had like all the Oscar nominees and winners and stuff for like from like the beginning all the way up until whenever in the 90s it was. And so I studied that and no way.
And you basically,
I know way too much about the Oscars, especially for someone. By the way, I didn't watch the Oscars last night. Like I should. I didn't watch it either.
I don't like it either. This is an Oscar show, and neither of us watched the actual Oscars.
It's totally appropriate. We did our research, you know. For me, I watched it in the same way that I've watched it for the last like 10 years or so, which is basically I follow online and see I track the winners online and then go and watch the speeches on YouTube.
Right.
That's how I, because really that's all I care about seeing, really, are just. Because, I mean, the Oscars as an institution and as a whole, I think are just so outdated and so, like... In fact, I was actually really hopeful, frankly, when the whole Will Smith incident happened, that would maybe finally put the nail in the coffin of these fucking Oscars. Like, I was... Honestly, I...
Oh, really? So you really... You're kind of like, end it?
Because it's... I think it's... Because it's so political and it's so... And it's just, in general, I feel like...
Right.
All this stuff, these big award ceremonies and like premieres and shit and like press junkets, it's like, it seems to be of a different time. I feel like we're past this now.
It is, but
we should be.
But don't you, this is where I think you and I differ, because there's a nostalgia to me. I want them to be more important, and they're not to me either. It's not like I watched it thinking, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. I mean, they're not. I can't put my finger on why I don't like them the way I used to like them. It could be that, I don't know. I just don't know. There used to be this, I don't know.
I don't have an answer.
I'm not
great,
even going to try to answer
this.
This
is a good podcast. I can sense it already.
Oh my God. Yes. We don't even know what we feel. I didn't watch it. And I was talking to you right before we started this. Okay. I have only seen Oppenheimer and Barbie, which from everything I've read is all I needed to see.
Yes, you evidently. Got the full Barbie.
You got the Barbenheimer
experience. That's, I feel like, at least you got that. So you've got a sense of, and
right.
I mean, yeah, you watched, well, Oppenheimer won and kind of cleaned up, so you saw the one that won.
Yeah.
So that's the most important one to see, I would say. I'm quite proud to say I watched all 10 of them Before the ceremony.
The best picture. All ten best picture
nominees. I actually finished, I watched the last one, or the last two, yesterday before the Oscars. So I've seen all of them.
So let me ask you this. Before we get into that, let me ask you this, because I'm curious about this. Because they recently expanded it from 5 to 10. I guess it's been a few years.
Yeah, it's been over 10 years probably. But yeah.
Oh, has it really?
I think it was the year that Hurt Locker won, which was in the year of Avatar and Hurt Locker. That year was when they started. They used to be five for decades.
So my question is this: is it? And since you studied all of the previous and past and all that, is it common? Is it normal for the actors and actresses that are listed and supporting awards that are all done? Is it normal that all of those are kind of pulled from the Best Picture nominees?
You
know what I'm saying? Is it like here are the best pictures, but then. Yeah. Like, there's all these other films, because you said you watched all 10, but there could be films that were nominated for other things that you didn't see.
Well, yeah, that's a good point, because I think personally, from what I hear, the reason they expanded, and actually I think the timing actually will tell you this is probably the truth, is that the reason they wanted to expand the nominees is because I think 2008 was the last year there was five, and that was the year Dark Knight came out. And Dark Knight famously did not get a Best Picture or Chris Nolan a director nomination, even though that was the biggest movie of that year. Many people agreed it was like the best movie of that year. Certainly the biggest box office hit and everything, but didn't get a nomination. So I've heard from my many sources and insiders, within the industry. I'm unemployed. That was kind of the reason to kind of expand the pool a little bit, I guess, and allow movies that were maybe a little more mainstream or broader to have a chance to compete as well. Which, I mean, on the one hand, I agree that Dark Knight should have been nominated, and I love that movie, and it's incredible. But at the same time, by doing that, and I've really kind of felt this ever since they made that choice, is they take away a lot of the prestige of it. Because then it's make a great point. Like, literally, when you have that many Best Picture nominees, those are basically all the movies that are nominated for Oscars. There's very few outliers. There's very few, like, you know, individual movies that get recognized for specific things.
Someone did an amazing job as an actress or an actor in some film that didn't get. But see, I don't understand how that happened. Like, I guess it's difficult for me to think about how that would happen. I guess it could happen with like a supporting actor role. But if you have a best actor or best actress and they're up for best actor, best actress, by definition, the movie is going to be pretty goddamn good, right? It's not going to be a bad movie with an amazing performance by
typically,
the lead actor.
I think every year there are a couple of acting nominees movies that just got acting nominees, but not, you know, but for the most part it's all pulled from those 10, and that's pretty much, you know, and I liked
it when it was five, because it was prestigious. I mean, I kind of like that there's, I mean, 10 is great, but you're right. It's like at the end of the day, you're like, it means a little less to be a best picture, because it's kind of like you got in with the expanded rules. So, but let me ask you this, and I don't know if you know this or not. I'm sure you do. So you say it expands, it gives them opportunity. Does someone pick the 10, and then there's a group that then vote from that 10, or have they selected which the best picture is, because they're selecting from all of it, and then they're just like, well, hey, public, here's the 10 best, but we already picked the one. It's not like they're voting from the 10. Is the pool expanded and then they vote from those 10? Or have they selected the best picture and then they go, here's the 10?
I'm not sure exactly how it works. I imagine that the Academy members vote just from, I guess all the movies that were released that year.
I assume
that's how it's handled. I don't know. There's also a lot of politics involved, and a lot of times, you know, people who win, it's like because they didn't win for another movie, now they give it to them for this because timing works out, and sometimes people get snubbed even though they deserved it. Somebody else wins for political reasons, you know, and more.
Well, famously, Spielberg, you know, The Color Purple, which I think is the movie that, like, I correct me if I'm wrong, but that's my memory of it, is that The Color Purple, like, won every award that it could possibly win, actually, but then he wasn't nominated or something?
Well, actually, it's kind of famous for having the most nominations and not winning anything, actually. But it's true, okay. Spielberg, he was not nominated.
He wasn't even nominated.
Yeah.
That's what
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, no, he didn't, and he'd already been nominated at that point, but yeah, he was passed over for that, and also famously, another egregious, snub was Shakespeare in Love winning Best Picture over Saving Private Ryan, which is, you know, very well thought of as a what the fuck moment, which I have to be totally honest, I still have not seen Shakespeare in Love, so maybe it's a wonderful film, but I'm sorry, it is not Saving Private fucking Ryan.
Right.
Like, no.
But
sometimes, sometimes they get it wrong.
So I think they get it wrong quite a bit, actually. But then again, you're judging art, I don't really know how you can...
It's all subjective, ultimately. For me...
How can you tell what's the best
for
picture?
For me, it's the truth is, at this point, it really is just... I enjoy seeing artists that I respect and admire get recognized. And that's... For me, that's the... It's the fun of watching... You know, like watching Gary Oldman finally win an Oscar and getting to see that happen.
Yeah.
Or like Sam Rockwell, one of my favorite actors, finally he gets nominated and wins. Or just this year, seeing Downey win was so great. You know, it's like... I like moments like that. You know, and I like to see that happen. What it actually means now, I think, is kind of like, I don't know what it means for an actor's career anymore. If it really has the cachet and kind of prestige that it used to have, you know?
Yeah. It used to be like a kind of, that's it. You've made it kind of thing. I remember, Robin Williams winning for Good Will Hunting and it was kind of this, I guess the vibe that I picked up, you know, and again, I was eight, this is 98, 98-ish. So that would have been 15 years old. So the vibe I was getting was that, that this was like this huge thing that, like, he's, you know, broken through and now he's this. I agree with you. I don't know that it's the same. But to your point, it's like you're judging art. It's like, how can you have two best pictures? How can you realistically say which one is better, Barbie or Oppenheimer? They're so fucking different, and they're trying to be different. They're not trying to do remotely the same thing. It's like saying which is the better team, the New York Yankees or the fucking, you know, Chicago Bulls. It's like basketball and baseball. What, like, who gives a flying fuck? One day we will have an Academy member on here, the mysterious Academy member, and ask them, what the fuck, how do you judge, what's your criteria on judging these things? Because it doesn't really make a lot of sense. But Oppenheimer, though, I saw it.
What were your thoughts? Could you hear anything?
I heard it. I heard it. Although, you know, there were some parts. But, you know, Chilich, I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Cillian Murphy.
Cillian Murphy. Cillian Murphy obviously had some soft-spoken moments, which were purposeful. Sure. Not he was speaking softly. Not that the movie didn't, they didn't choose to make sure you couldn't hear him. It was a acting choice. It was great. I was thrilled. Gary Oldman
was
Harry Truman.
Shock,
because it's at the end of the movie, obviously, and he walks in and I'm like, is that Gary Oldman? I'm like, that's Gary fucking Oldman. He's playing Harry Truman. Like, I didn't know he was in this movie. That was a fucking amazing cast.
Oh, yeah, the cast is it's fucking nuts. Like, and just in little parts, like, even, like, Casey Affleck popped in and was like, holy shit. And, like, a ton of, like, just top-level actors. But that's Nolan, because everybody would bend over backwards
to work
with him.
Wants to work with him.
And I got to say, for me, I was happy to see Oppenheimer win. I think it deserved it. I think particularly Christopher Nolan deserved it, finally. In my opinion, I do think Dunkirk is his best movie, and he should have won for that.
I don't have the Rolodex of movies that he did. I mean, I know he did The Batman
Dark Knight trilogy
and movies, Dark Knight, and I know this, but what are some other movies that he did in
Memento,
between?
Memento, Inception, The Prestige, right. Interstellar, Tenet.
Ooh, Interstellar.
Am I forgetting anything? And Dunkirk, and that's...
Well, you said...
Yeah, which is, I just rewatched today, and yeah, that I think is his... I like it even better than Oppenheimer, and he should have won for that, but I do think he deservedly won for this, and certainly, I mean, I think Oppenheimer was the best movie of last year. I just thought it was really incredible.
It's
like
it's an amazing movie. Any movie that can go for 3 hours and not feel like 3 hours, like, and this is, you and I have talked about this a lot. That, for me, at least, these are the movies I like. They're movies that it is. There's not a lot of action. There's no action, actually. It's all dialogue, and the tension is from the stakes and what they're talking about, not necessarily. And in this movie, in Oppenheimer, Nolan does a lot to like ramp up with he ups the sound, obviously, of like a bomb going off, you know, kind of in certain sequences which, you know, is great filmmaking. It adds to the what you're watching. You know, I thought it was a great movie. I really liked it.
I think his everything about it. I thought Cillian Murphy was incredible. I think for me, actually, I think that there's this movie. It's funny because, you know, everyone talks about Barbie and Oppenheimer, but I think it's more for me. I think my second runner up would have been Killers of the Flower Moon. For me, for like those,
right? You're a big, huge fan of that.
I mean,
movie.
That, and it's, I mean, I really love both of them. I mean, if anything, it was mostly just because I would go with Oppenheimer because Nolan hasn't won yet, and Scorsese has, you know,
right? Scorsese has,
but Killers of the Flower Moon is also another movie that's 3.5 hours long, and I swear to God, it doesn't feel it at all. It flies by. Like, honestly, I've watched it twice now, and both times I couldn't believe, like, it does. You don't feel the length for a second because you're so absorbed in the story.
Right. So I feel like Emma Stone took the Best Actress, and that was a little bit of an
upset,
right?
That was surprising.
Right? The actress from Killer Moon was winning all of the other awards.
It was
lesser
definitely
awards.
Between Emma Stone and Lily Gladstone. Two stones, ironically. I was surprised by that. And I actually have to say, I was really pulling for Emma Stone. Well, I shouldn't say I was. I love Emma Stone. I'm glad she won. I thought her speech was incredible. One of the best, honestly, probably one of the best speeches I've ever seen an actor give up there. She was so genuine and so obviously not expecting to win. Like,
well, and her dress tore,
I guess,
evidently.
I didn't
and
notice. But God, yeah. But that movie, well, Poor Things is the film that she won for, and that movie is incredible. There's nothing else like it. It's a very bizarre film, not for everybody. But God, she is fucking spectacular in it. Like, it's one of those performances where, especially, it's the best. It's hard to describe because essentially the movie is about Willem Dafoe is like this sort of mad scientist who kind of creates a Frankenstein monster and brings this dead woman back to life, essentially. So she starts off like a toddler, basically. And the way Emma Stone plays her as a toddler is the best acting I've ever seen of a grown up playing a child in any movie I've ever seen. Like, she does it better than any other actor has ever done it before. And then it just gets crazier from there, and she's absolutely phenomenal. That's a great movie. Mark Ruffalo is also, it's one of his best performances. He's hilarious in it. But
I love Mark Ruffalo. I just think Mark Ruffalo doesn't get enough
in everything.
Credit.
He's one of the greatest. I was like I wanted her to win. Even though I had seen Killers of the Flower Moon, loved it, and then I have to say I rewatched Killers of the Flower Moon recently, and I really appreciated Lily Gladstone's performance more the second time. She's phenomenal. And it kind of made me think of Cillian Murphy's performance in Oppenheimer a little bit, in the sense that both of those performances, I think the actors they're carrying something in their performance that's bigger than the movie, almost. That's bigger. That's, you know, in the case of Oppenheimer, Cillian Murphy's character, he has to carry the weight of what this guy has done, what he's accomplished and what he achieved, but also the price of that, and how he conveys that is so, I mean, it's why I think he deserved to win the Oscar. It's how he was able to convey the weight of that on his you know, soul really is amazing.
Right.
And I think similarly, Lily Gladstone is, you know, through her character and through what happens with her character in that movie, she ends up...
Which is the
killers
of the flower.
Just the genocide of the Osage people by, you know, white men to take their land, essentially, and their money and their oil.
Right.
And she ends up carrying this this incredible emotional weight of you know, just by virtue of her character and the story that's being told. And the way she conveys it through her eyes and, like, through it, there's an incredible power and, like, stillness to the performance, similar to what Cillian Murphy has. Just really two incredible pieces of acting that I felt like were really similar, actually.
Yeah, and I think Oppenheimer, I mean, like, when the little bit that I watched I shouldn't say the little bit, I watched the whole thing. I didn't watch any of the other films, so this, I'm going to comment on Cillian's performance. His performance in Oppenheimer was like you said, the thing was is that it's like he had to balance the joy and prestige seeking that comes with somebody who's literally making groundbreaking discoveries and being hailed as and lauded as being this kind of a peer of Einstein, literally a peer of Einstein, you know, but then at the same time, he has to, like you said, convey the weight of that discovery and what it is. And then what I loved about his performance is that he's constantly saying that, you know, he has this hope, which I feel like he conveys that he doesn't really believe, but he's hoping against hope that the sight of this weapon would keep people from ever, you know, using it or whatever. But he doesn't really believe it. He's saying it almost to try to convince himself that he hasn't unleashed this, you know, awfulness into the world. Which, and he does it all with. You know, not with having to describe it. It's all in his eyes and his face and his mannerisms, which is why it's such an amazing performance. And Emily Blunt in that movie was amazing. And I, you know, look, I haven't seen all of Emily Blunt's filmography. I've seen pretty much only the ones that are lighthearted and whatnot.
Devil Wears Prada, you're all
scary
over
shit that she did,
but.
I'm all over Devil's Wear Prada, and what's it? Life of Steve with Steve Carell. What's the one where she's got a bit part? It's before she was big. She comes in as an act as a like a girlfriend. I've seen
Sicario.
The Tom
Sicario.
Cruise movie.
Have you seen that one? Oh, yeah, that's her best. That's her best. Oh my god.
No, but she was amazing in it. I thought that was really good, but she didn't win Joy Randolph for the Holdovers.
Which is a great movie.
That's the movie with Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, Alexander Payne directed it. He directed Sideways and Election, but that's a great movie. It takes place in the 70s, and it had a really great 70s feel to it. I know you probably don't know this name, but Hal Ashby is like a great 70s director who did Harold and Maude and
why do you think I don't know Hal Ashby?
Do you?
It's because I don't know who Hal Ashby is. No, I don't. But you were right. I just didn't like that you were right.
But it has a 70s flavor to it that I really liked. And even though apparently it's been hit just recently, literally on the day of the Oscars, there's apparently plagiarism accusations against it. I guess the writer, apparently they're saying that this other writer...
Against the Holdovers?
Saying that the script steals,
really?
Stole apparently like line for line, this person claims, from their script. I don't know. But I can't speak to that. All I know is that I really enjoyed the movie. And Paul Giamatti is like one of our great, it was great to see him recognized, you know, even though he didn't win.
He was nominated
for Cinderella Man.
He should.
But this is his second nomination.
God, he's so many movies he could have been nominated. I feel like he's so good.
Every time he does something, he's amazing.
Sideways, that movie Sideways that's the wine movie, right? That movie is I love that movie.
Yeah, it's great. Great.
I love
that
movie. Anyways,
Vomit from Private Parts. Come on, man. Classic. Classic. He's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, so that movie's great. And Divine Joy Randolph, she's phenomenal. She plays, She plays a chef or the cook in the kitchen at the school who is with him, who has to stay over the holiday season. And she had a son who died in Vietnam, and it's kind of so she's still kind of dealing with that. And she's phenomenal in the movie. So really glad to see her win. Holdovers was great. I really, there was a lot of furor about Barbie and some of the snubs that happened there, which I will say, I was disappointed Margot Robbie wasn't nominated. I think she should have been nominated for Best Actress for it. I think that to me felt like a snub. And then they tried to make up for it they nominated, curiously, the America Ferrera for supporting actress, who nothing against her.
Role.
She's a great actress and she's great in the movie, but that was not an Oscar-worthy performance. It was a good. I mean, she has that great speech, and yes, I felt like that was trying to make up for not giving Margot Robbie the nomination, and I really think Margot Robbie deserved it. I mean, she's,
But who would you take out? Because you got Emma Stone, you got Annette Bening.
I didn't see that. I didn't see that. See, that's the one I would take out just because I haven't seen it. That's like the only, I think that's the only one I haven't seen. But
okay. Lily Gladstone in Killers of the Flower Moon. Sandra Hüller, Anatomy of a Fall.
That was one of the last ones I watched. That was Anatomy of a Fall is really good.
And Carey Mulligan
Maestro. Which was Maestro was very good. I was actually that one.
How was that? That was one of those movies. I wanted to ask you about that because that's one of those movies that the Academy, in my expert opinion, the Academy seems to really like biopics or biopics is the way I say it.
Yes.
Biopics. They like biopics, especially when actors get to mimic. And I think it's because it's easy for people to tell that guy's acting just like the people in real life, and I can really believe it.
And they also love actors who direct, because many have won.
Okay.
Robert Redford, Warren Beatty,
right.
Clint Eastwood. There's a big one. Kevin Costner. One for directing, so
right.
Yeah, they so but
I wanted but so when I saw Bradley Cooper, when I saw the trailers for Bradley Cooper as Maestro, and he I haven't seen this movie.
I have.
So Matt, you're gonna have to comment, but the trailers that I saw and the affect that he took with his voice and the way he looks even was so different than what he is and normally does.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that's got, I mean, he's up there for, he's going to be close to winning. So, I mean, and he was nominated.
Very,
so I was just
very
curious your opinion.
So I thought he did a fucking, it's honestly, I'm kind of like, dude, fuck this guy. Cause he's like ridiculously handsome. He's also a great actor. Like particularly like Silver Linings Playbook's amazing. American Hustle though, his performance in that, it's like one of my all time favorites, but he's
American
he's
Sniper,
great.
And
he's great
in
everything, but then he can also fucking sing and fucking play guitar and act and conduct direct. And like, because I thought Maestro in particular, like, his performance is phenomenal. Like, it really is. It's one of his best, and he really does kind of transform himself in it. But he did a great job directing it, too. I thought it's beautifully shot.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, really well done. And Carey Mulligan, who plays his wife, she's always great. She's phenomenal in it, too. But I liked it.
She's good, too. Has she ever won anything? I feel like she was nominated for
Promising Young Woman a few years ago. That was a big one. And I forget, there's another one, An Education, which I've never seen, was one of like her breakout part. But
and she's kind of, I feel like she doesn't get the credit. She's really under the radar. I don't think people really... maybe not. I mean, but I just, Carey Mulligan is not like, you think of actresses, like big name actresses that are like top of the game actresses, like her name does not come up readily enough, but
she's
really, really good. Again, didn't see the movie.
She's great in it. She's really good. I thought Maestro was great. I thought
Jeffrey Wright
in
American
Fiction,
which I really want to see, and I love him as an actor.
That was also what I'm when I talk about seeing our artists get recognized. That was to see him finally get nominated was great because he's one of those one of just our greatest actors who he's always great in everything. He's always solid, always delivers a phenomenal performance in everything, no matter what it is. And so to finally see him get nominated was great, and that was a great movie. American Fiction was great. I really enjoyed it. I think for me, that one, the only thing was it felt really similar to the Spike Lee movie Bamboozled, which is because the theme of it, because American Fiction is basically about a writer who he's struggling to get a book published, basically. And so to as a kind of almost like out of spite, he writes this really stereotypical black quote unquote book that's very pandering and very like, you know, cliche and stereotypical. And it ends up becoming a big success unexpectedly. And which is very similar to the Spike Lee film Bamboozled, which is about a TV writer who creates this incredibly racist television show, which ends up becoming this big phenomenon. But you know, granted, that takes place in like the media world and TV, and American Fiction is in the literary world, so it is a very different movie. But but I really liked it. One of the things I also really liked about that movie is, and part of one of the main themes of it too is how the characters are weren't defined by their, you know, their blackness. That's kind of what it was, a lot of it was about. That it was about, you know, why can't we just have black characters or people who are just people and who are flawed and fallible, but just like everybody else, they always have to be the center of some kind of like, you know, tragic or heroic story or something. And in that movie, the characters all feel just like regular people. And I like the way it kind of addresses those issues in a sort of, you know, unflinching way. I liked that a lot. And so I really enjoyed American Fiction a lot.
I'm going to watch that one. Cause I love him. Like I feel like his characters, I feel like he fully, I don't know. I just always love his characters. I feel like he, whatever the character is, he always brings something interesting that makes you kind of want to see that guy, that character more. And it's not every actor can do that. There's some really good actors that really do a good job. But for some reason, there's something about him that when he's on screen, I'm just like, I want to watch him do whatever he's doing more. Yeah. And that's in every movie, no matter what the character.
He has a similar thing, actually, I feel, to like Benicio del Toro, where it's like, no matter what they do, they're always just riveting to watch. Right. They don't have to say anything.
Yes.
They just have that kind of presence that you could watch them do fucking anything, and it's fascinating.
Like Sean Connery.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Sure.
Right?
Yes,
yeah, just
of
say
course.
Yes.
Of
it's
course,
right.
Connery.
Yes. Yes.
That's
he walks in the room, and
that's
you're
what
like,
I think.
Just stand
I think
there, it, man.
I think of them in that there. Order, too. It's Benicio del Toro, Jeffrey Wright, Sean Connery. They're like interchangeable.
In that order, because it should be reversed. Okay, it should be reversed. All right, so yeah, and then I obviously I saw Barbie, and I haven't seen this. I read about it. Evidently, Ryan Gosling did a performance of "This Is I Am Ken."
I'm just Ken, yeah.
I'm just Ken, and it evidently brought the house down. And
I haven't watched
it. Huge.
I haven't watched it.
I want to watch it. Yeah. I'm gonna watch it. I should have watched it. Maybe we should pause right now and watch it, and then come back on. I'm pausing.
Okay.
I'm pausing right now, and we're gonna pause, and we're gonna come right back after watching. after watching.
All
right,
this,
so,
pause.
Okay. Okay.
That was amazing.
It was amazing. what I read, and whoever wrote it, and I can't remember, it was in the New York Times, but whoever wrote it was 100%, which is basically Ryan Gosling is now, honestly, I think Ryan Gosling is now the new Hugh Jackman in the sense that he is just, he his range, what he can do from is so
well. We've known since Mickey Mouse Club,
him
man.
Selling this, yeah, I know. Yeah, his selling of that in live because that whole thing that I'm just Ken is an attitude, and he owns it, man. And you just can't help but smile. Yeah. The whole time you're just like he's walking through the crowd. Yeah. He's just owning
he's,
it.
Yeah,
man.
He clearly relishes, I think, getting a chance to play the buffoon idiot.
Yes,
like he's definitely. Well, yeah, he's got a great sense of humor.
No, kudos to him though, because That is the only thing to do in that situation. Yeah. Like, if you're going to do that role, own the fuck out of it. Just be it and be happy to be it. And that's the only way. Because if he ever tried to act too cool or to act like it was beneath him, it would just fall flat. And he just, I think, so anyways, they didn't win anything, but they won my heart with that. Because that was that. That was awesome.
That had to be the highlight of the evening. That was that was a great.
Oh, and everyone's loving it. Even the actors are loving it. That's what I want to see. That's the part that's like, that's what makes that the Oscars kind of neat. Yes. You know, you're like, that's everyone's singing. They're enjoying it. It's good. Much better than he could have punched somebody. He could have Will Smith again. Oh, so Jesus. He didn't punch anybody.
Nobody got fucking assaulted, so that's good.
Nobody got assaulted, so. All right. Well, that's the Oscars. Matt, I'm going to throw you some Oscar trivia, man. I looked up some Oscars. I got 50 questions I'm throwing at you, and we're going to go through them as quickly as possible. I don't know how many you're going to get, but 50. Let's see how many 50 out of 50 you can get.
We'll see.
All right.
Let's do it.
All right. So here we go. All right. Leonardo DiCaprio won the Academy Award for Best Actor for his role in which film?
The Revenant.
That's correct. Yes, I knew that one too. Who was the first woman to have won the Oscar for Best Director?
Catherine Bigelow for The Hurt Locker.
Yes. What are the Big Five awards?
Picture, director, actor, actress, and screenplay.
Ooh, screenplay. So not supporting actor and not supporting actress. Okay.
Strangely.
Not the Big Five. All right. In what year was the first Academy Awards ceremony?
Oh, shit. See, that's going too far back for me. I'm going to say 1929.
That is correct. 1929 is the correct answer. Is that the earliest?
I think that's the first. I mean, I think that's the first one it would have been, I imagine. All right.
I put the emphasis on ceremony. Sorry. The 2017 movie Suicide Squad won on Oscar. True or false?
True. It won for makeup.
It won Best Makeup and Hairstyling. That's in the answer. Well done. All right. Yes. How many Academy Awards for Best Actor has Daniel Day-Lewis won?
3.
Correct.
I believe he's the only one to do that, to win Best Actor.
In what year did Forrest Gump win Best Picture?
It was for the year 1994, but it would have actually been in 95.
Correct. So. Yeah, you got it right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. How many Oscars was Titanic nominated for out of a possible 17?
I'm going to say 14.
God damn it, Matt. Well done. Right? Yes, 14. Yes.
Oh, shit. All right.
Okay. Johnny Depp has never won an Oscar. True or false?
True.
Correct. Yeah, that is cool.
He didn't get nominated for the first time until Pirates of the Caribbean, which is even crazier. But
yeah, he did. Wow. Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Not for Edward Scissorhands. Not for what's the movie?
Ed Wood, Fear and Loathing. Yeah. Nothing. Yeah.
No. Wow. Okay. Yeah. How many Oscars did? And now you may get this wrong. How many Oscars did The Lord of the Rings: Return of the King win?
13.
No.
It didn't.
I think it was nominated for 13, but it didn't win 13. Really? At least according to this, it says 11.
What does it say?
It says 11. 11.
That might be correct. That's probably right. I think it might have. Yeah, I think it was might have been nominated. Or well, wait, hang on. One. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, it won 11. It won 11 Oscars, and it won every single one it was nominated for.
All right.
Okay. That's correct. I was wrong. Okay, I got that one wrong.
All right, which Best Picture winning movie features an underdog boxer getting a shot at the World Championship?
Rocky.
Is that right? Yeah, that is right.
I think so.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know why I thought it was Cinderella Man. But
No.
Okay. Which movie did Jack Nicholson win his first Oscar for?
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Correct. Who was the first African-American woman to win the Academy Award for Best Actress?
For Best Actress was Halle Berry.
Yes.
From Monsters Ball.
In what year was the first Oscar for Best Animated Feature awarded?
Oh, shit. more recently than you would think. I want to say 2001.
Oh, wow. Close. 2002. You're really close. 2002.
Well, it was probably for the year 2001.
Yeah, that's probably right.
So I'm probably right. Damn.
You're probably right, but 2002 is what the answer is.
Okay.
Which movie did Danny Boyle win Best Director for in 2008?
Slumdog Millionaire.
Yes, that's right. In inches, how tall is an Oscar statue?
Oh, Jesus. I mean, it's 13?
God, you're close. 13 and a half.
Fucking.
It's that half inch. Natalie Portman won Best Actress for her role in which film?
Black Swan.
Yes. How many Oscars has Morgan Freeman won?
One. $1 Million Baby.
Yes. Best Supporting Actor. Yep. Mm-hmm. Which movie did Rami Malek win Best Actor for in 2019?
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes. Which animation studio has won the most Best Animated Feature awards?
I mean, I gotta say Pixar, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
What is the only Studio Ghibli movie to win the Best Animated Feature award?
Oh.
What is Studio Ghibli?
It's Hayao Miyazaki, who's like this fan. He does anime. See, this is the thing. I don't like anime, so I haven't seen any of. He's apparently very beloved genius. I've never seen any of those movies. But I'm gonna guess. Is it Spirited Away?
Yes, it is. Well done. Okay. I've never seen the movie, and you know what it is. Know. All right. Who has hosted the most Academy Award ceremonies?
Oh, wow. This one I feel like is going to be a trick. I don't know. I feel like the answer is going to be somebody before our time. Because my instinct is I want to say somebody from our time, but I have a feeling.
Well, define our time.
Like
this person was alive,
where we would have been watching them, I guess, is what I'm saying. I think
I'm not going to give you a hint, but yeah.
Okay, all right. My guess is Bob Hope.
You're correct, Bob Hope.
Hey, all right.
which Best Picture winning movie was also Kevin Costner's directorial debut?
Dances with Wolves.
Yes,
over
which
Goodfellas?
Oh, it won over Goodfellas.
Famously, wow. Yes.
Okay. Which comic book character did Heath Ledger posthumously win Best Supporting Actor for his portrayal of? You're going to have a field day with me pronouncing some of these words.
Well, the Joker, of course.
Yes.
One of the greatest performances.
What movie won Steven Spielberg his first Oscar for Best Director?
Schindler's List.
Which Best Picture winning movie did Dustin Hoffman and Meryl Streep win their first acting Oscars in?
Kramer versus Kramer.
Yes. Great, which two actresses tied for Best Actress in 1969?
It was Katherine Hepburn and Barbara Streisand.
Wow. What movies?
Yeah. I think Katherine Hepburn, it was for The Lion in Winter, and Barbara Streisand was for Funny Girl.
Okay.
For
those of you guys, I think everyone here listening can tell that my brother's not looking this stuff up. He's answering a little too quickly to look any of this stuff up.
Hopefully that's convincing enough.
Yeah, how many Oscars did Everything Everywhere All at Once get nominated for?
Nominated, a lot. I'm going to say 13?
Close, 11.
Damn it.
Who did Meryl Streep win Best Actress for her portrayal of in The Iron Lady?
Margaret Thatcher.
Yes. What venue have the Oscars ceremonies been held in since 2002?
Jesus. Is it the Kodak Theater?
No, I've never heard of it. The Dolby Theater?
Oh, okay.
Did they rename the Kodak Theater?
I don't know. Maybe they did. I don't know.
Because Kodak is kind of an old... That's an old...
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. Are they still in business?
I don't... Yeah, it's... let's see here. Which Oscar-winning movie told the story of six unemployed men who form a male striptease act?
The Full Monty.
Yep. Gary Oldman won his first Oscar for his performance in which movie?
Darkest Hour.
Yes. How many Oscars did Ridley Scott's Gladiator win?
Six?
Close. Five.
Fucking damn it.
Sorry.
I'm worthless.
You're getting quite a few of these. Which movie won Best Picture at the 87th Academy Awards in 2015?
Birdman?
Well done. Birdman, yes. Marlon Brando refused his Oscar for Best Actor in 1973. True or false?
True.
All right.
The Godfather.
Who co-hosted the Oscars with Anne Hathaway in 2011?
James Franco, unfortunately.
James Franco. All right.
Yeah, that was a disaster.
Who won Best Director for The Shape of Water?
Guillermo del Toro.
Yep. Which Eminem song won an Oscar for Best Original Song?
Lose Yourself.
Yep. What was the first foreign language movie to win Best Picture?
To win Parasite, right?
Yes, Parasite.
Yes. Yeah.
What organization? It's poorly written. What organization is responsible for presenting the Academy Awards?
The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences.
Correct. Which Oscars award category was first introduced in 1982?
Oh, Best Makeup.
Yes. Why was
Which
that?
Surprising. The first one to win was American Werewolf in London. That was the first Best Makeup Oscar. That was the first time it actually became a category. It took him that long to make that
wow.
a category.
Wow, really?
Shocking,
okay.
But yeah.
What about, what's his face? Wasn't there a really famous, who's the guy from Argo? Like really famous.
The Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, and he's like, so he never won an Academy Award?
I think that won like an honorary award that year, but it wasn't an official category until American Werewolf
really?
In London won, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Which Oscar-winning movie told the fictionalized story of Mozart?
Amadeus. Classic.
Okay. How many movies have won all five of the Big Five Academy Awards?
Okay. Silence of the Lambs, Cuckoo's Nest, It Happened One Night. Is that three? Is it three?
Three's correct. Yeah,
okay.
Three's correct. Well done. Yeah, and you got it. They didn't even give me the names. It's just says three. I can't check you on that, but fuck you. which movie won the most Oscars at the 94th Academy Awards in 2022? So last year.
Won the most Oscars? Well... Was Everything Everywhere All at Once, right?
No.
Wait, was that... Wait, well, hang on. See, this is where it gets tricky. Is that the year that it was...
I don't know what it's
the
saying.
Year that it was held? Okay, well, if it was the year before that, then it would have been... is it Dune?
Yeah, it's Dune.
Okay.
So what does that mean? Does that mean the year before? So 2020... Yeah. When they say 2022, they mean...
When the ceremony was held.
So not the year that the movie came out. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, which actress ended their Oscar acceptance by blowing a kiss at Lady Gaga? You're not going to know that. That's pointless. That's a stupid question.
But,
take a guess.
Well, I imagine, is it Olivia Colman?
Fuck you. Fuck you. Well,
that's only because that's the only time Lady Gaga has been nominated for an Oscar is when she lost to Olivia Colman. So that's
why. Okay. All right. All right. What is the only Best Picture winning movie of the 21st century named after an American city?
After an American city? Chicago?
Correct. All right, Matt. So out of 50, I think you only missed two or three. But these are all new. I should have found a different one. I thought there was some older stuff in here. But
I mean, some
not...
of those were, yeah, I mean, you know, it was challenging.
Okay.
But what
else do you want to talk about? Anything?
Man, I don't know. There was one movie that I did kind of want to talk about we haven't touched on that I thought was pretty incredible. There was a movie that was nominated for Best Picture. I think it actually won for international film, and that's a movie called The Zone of Interest.
Oh, yeah. And so this looked, Lexi and I were looking at these trailers, and that one was like...
It is a masterpiece. It is, it was directed by this guy, Jonathan Glazer, who, his first movie that he made was the movie Sexy Beast, which Ben Kingsley was nominated for an Oscar for, which is an amazing performance. But that movie came out in like 2000, and this movie that just got nominated, it's only his fourth film.
Okay.
He did Sexy Beast. He did a movie called Birth with Nicole Kidman. That's amazing. And he did a movie called Under the Skin with Scarlett Johansson, which came out about 10 years ago, I guess, but it, also one of an incredible film. He is a, I mean, he's truly like one of, I think, the best directors alive. And this movie, Zone of Interest, is pretty phenomenal. It's basically, it's about the family of the commandant of Auschwitz, basically.
Yeah.
It takes place in, but it, the entire thing takes place in like the palatial sort of, you know, their estate or whatever.
Yeah.
Where the family is living on the outskirts of Auschwitz, like right next to it. It's one of those movies where the whole movie, the impact of the movie is about everything you don't see.
Right.
It's just what you hear and you get little glimpses of it. And but the entire thing is really just focused on this family going about their daily lives and daily existence. They have this kind of beautiful, idyllic, like the first image in the movie is of them playing by this lake, and it's beautiful. It's absolutely gorgeous. Not at all what you think of when you think of Auschwitz. And it's
right.
And it is, I mean, it's really, the movie is about, and it has something similar to Killers of the Flower Moon in this, I think, which is it's about the banality of evil, which is
right.
That it's just about people going about their lives, treating this as if it's just their daily
normal.
Work.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, they're exterminating millions of people.
Well,
and
it's the dehumanizing effect of it's where human beings have internalized that the things that they're doing are to people that are not human. They view the other people that are being as not human, so they can do it almost in the same way they could cattle or anything else.
Yes.
Yeah, we saw that. That seems like a really uplifting movie. I know that was one.
It's a blast.
That's right there. Barbie and that one were the two.
Make a great double feature. But it truly is amazing. Steven Spielberg actually has said that it's the best movie he's seen about the Holocaust since Schindler's List. Even though it's a different kind of movie. It's definitely, you know, an art film in the sense that it's not, it's gripping and you're totally riveted and fascinated by it. But like I said, it's not graphic. You don't see anything. Like, it's all about the sound design is unbelievable. I think it also won very deservedly for best sound too. And the sound design is incredible because that's like where, that's the only glimpses you get of the horror that's happening just like over the wall that surrounds their like compound. But it's just an incredible movie. And Jonathan Glazer he's a director who, it was nice to see him get nominated because he's, I think, one of the most interesting filmmakers working right now. Like every movie he's done is incredible. So I would highly recommend if you're looking for a fun date night, Zone of Interest. I'm telling you,
Zone of Interest.
It's a blast.
All right. I'm gonna leave it at that. There's not any other in here that are.
I think we have sufficiently proven my just like completely useless knowledge. If anyone out there is like offering a check for like $2 million for somebody with useless Oscar trivia, please call me. Like,
yes,
please,
Matt. Yeah.
So I can finally put it to use.
It is. It never ceases to amaze me that you can pull that shit out of your fucking brain.
But then again, but we went through this though because I remember me and you and our brothers were talking because they were similarly impressed. But then we started talking about sports and like who's won like fucking World Series or I don't know whatever the fuck they win in sports.
Yeah.
And you guys knew you pulled them out, and I was like shocked by that. So like everybody's got their thing that they're. You know, they're like Rain Man about, you know.
All right. Well, we don't have a podcast about sports. We have a podcast about movies. So I'm
true.
Thoroughly impressed by this. All right.
Well, thank you.
All right. So Oscars are done. Nobody got slapped.
Yeah.
People won some awards. They walked away with some awards.
I was happy. I think they got it right this year. I think pretty much
good.
Across the board. So I was happy. I was happy with it.
All right. Well, Matt, you want to take us?
Yeah. What are we doing? Well, should we tease our?
I don't know which one's going. But this is going to go first. It's going to be a little.
Yeah,
people are going to get a little awkward because this is going to go first, and then there's one where we're like, "Hey, we're back. We're in nature." So
yeah, we should probably. That's just a disclaimer that there's going to be a little continuity kind of alteration here, but you know, it's fine. It's our podcast. We make the rules. We create the timeline. We're in charge of time.
There's no time
on this podcast.
There's no time.
It's just like Jingle All the Way. Our podcast exists in its own alternate timeline that does not follow the rules of physics.
Technically, the next movie that people will hear about is Raising Arizona.
Raising Arizona, yes, right. Yes.
Although it was done a while ago for us, and we're on to other movies.
It'll be a trip it'll be a journey to the past. It'll be a little time travel here on how did this get made? It's not how did this get made. That's another podcast. That's not our podcast name.
We don't talk about how things get made. We just make comments.
Oh my God. I always want to. I think almost every time I begin to say the name of our podcast, I try to say, how did this get made? Like literally every time, and I'm telling people about it, and I have to stop myself and be like, nope, that's not ours. That's not our podcast. What the fuck is this podcast called? I don't even remember it. Does it hold up? Yes. Thank you.
The Oscars held up. I thought the Oscars. I'm just Ken. That's all I saw about it, and that's all I'm going to watch.
Yeah, honestly,
I'm good.
I would say if you want, you should go watch that and watch Emma Stone's speech. I thought her speech was really wonderful. She's just God. If you want to fall in love with somebody, just go watch her speech. She's the greatest.
All right, amazing. Matt.